All right. Well, welcome back to our overview of El Salvador. We're going to move on to the second main part here, which is an overview of the players. We're kind of trying to narrow down who the starters and main candidates are. And once again, we do realize that players do kind of move around their positions, and this position thing that we're doing is more of a kind of a structure to organize the discussion rather than a hard and fast rule about who is in which position, as we'll see in this podcast, actually. Connor, do you want to start us off with the manager?
Yeah, before the players, we'll take a look at the manager, Hugo Perez. He's been the manager just since 2021, so not a lot of experience under his belt. However, he has coached the El Salvador U23s and was previously an assistant coach in 2016 and 2015. So he's been around the national setup for a little while, but like I said, current manager of the El Salvador national team only since earlier this year.
Yeah, and he was actually a player for America, quite a big player on the team with 73 caps, and he played in the 1994 World Cup and the 1991 Gold Cup. So, nevertheless, I think he was born or had ties. I think he is El Salvadorian, and as you say, he's been part of their system for quite some time. Let's move on to goalkeepers, and over to you, Connor.
Sure. So first is Mario Gonzalez. He started all four games that El Salvador played in the 2021 Gold Cup. He's only been with the team recently since the start of the year, so a relative newcomer, 24 years old. But like I said, played in each and every one of the games in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, so that six caps is actually how many caps he had before the Gold Cup. So I guess now he would be up to 10. And whether he will stay there or whether he was just a stand-in for Henry Hernandez it remains to be seen. But let's move on to talk about Henry Hernandez, who is the captain of the team, or at least he was in 2019.
Yeah, so he's been with the national team since 2003. So he's 35 or 36. So a real veteran on the team. Played in a lot of the recent Gold Cups, 2015, 2017, and 2019, like you said, where he was a captain and started and finished all three games, but not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup. So that's kind of an interesting choice.
Yeah, and really, it may be that he is retired. He did play 8 of their 15 games in the lead up to the tournament, but it may be that he's retired, or like a lot of players in the Gold Cup, just didn't play, even though he is based in El Salvador. It looks like they're searching for a real starter, and it's not clear whether Mario Gonzalez has kind of taken that position or whether they're still searching. But one of the candidates is Kevin Carabantes. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, so he's been with the team since 2018, but only has one cap. He hadn't played in any of their 15 games since the 2019 Gold Cup, on the bench for 13 of those. But he kind of seems to be in that perpetually in that backup role.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, that covers the goalies, and now we're going to move on to the defenders, and we'll begin with the central defender options. There are kind of five names on the list here, starting with Eric Zavaleta.
Yeah, Eric Zavaleta is a he's 28 years old, but a relative newcomer to the El Salvador national setup. He's played with Toronto FC in Canada since 2015. So one of the MLS-based players. And he did start all four games in the recent Gold Cup for El Salvador.
Yeah, that's right. His father, Carlos, actually played for the national team when he was in his day. 28 years old, and he just started with El Salvador in 2021. So it kind of makes you wonder where he's been all these years.
Yeah, certainly, especially a player playing in the MLS, kind of one of the more high-profile teams among kind of the current crop of eligible players. So, yeah, curious that he is such a recent newcomer to the team, given his age.
Yeah, well, he was born in the USA, and he doesn't seem to have had a lot to do with the team. So I wonder if he was, hoping to join the USA and eventually found he couldn't and joined El Salvador, which is often... which happens quite often.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's move on to someone who actually was named to the preliminary squad for the 2021 Gold Cup. But, he did. Sorry, my mistake. He did make the cup. Ronald Gomez.
Yeah, another newcomer, only 5 caps going into the Gold Cup. Though younger than Zavaleta, only 22 years old, so perhaps an up-and-comer. He started all 4 games, so got really good exposure and good experience in the Gold Cup, and maybe someone that El Salvador chooses to rely on going forward.
Yeah, I mean, at 22 years old, he's definitely got more years in him than Zavaleta, so could be a good investment there. Another player who didn't play any games actually in the Gold Cup, but is nevertheless a fairly big name in central defense, is Roberto Dominguez.
Yeah, he's amassed 40 caps at the age of just 24 years old. So he seems very well established. He played the vast majority of their games leading up to the 2021 Gold Cup in the 2 years since the 2019 version. So a bit of a surprise that he didn't play in the most recent tournament.
What do you think? Yeah, did. He did start all the games in 2019. So it is curious that he didn't start. He plays actually in Albania and played in Bolivia before that. So he does get around a bit. He played for Vancouver too.
Yeah, so 3 continents. Certainly a player who's well-traveled and also had some time with some domestic clubs in El Salvador.
Right. And then not selected for the squad, but also with quite a few caps, 29 caps, is Ivan Mancilla.
Yeah, like many in the team, he's based in El Salvador. He's moved around there, but has played in El Salvador throughout his career. He played 9 of their 15 games since the 2019 Gold Cup. He was under a kind of a yellow card suspension. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
I wish I could. I tried to find out because I think it went on for 6 games, the last 6 games before the cup, but I couldn't actually find out what that meant. So sorry about that. But because he was a starter in 2017 and 2019, I'm guessing he would have been a starter here, except for that kind of mysterious suspension that we don't know about.
Yeah, certainly. Like you said, a player who'd established himself in the tournament previously. So, again, likely to see him, I would assume, in the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think for the octagon, they're going to need more than just 2 main players, whether it's through injuries or just the sheer number of games they're playing in a row. So all of these guys might factor in. The last one we're going to look at is Romelu Villalobos.
Yeah, he's probably a bit less likely to get some action. He's 23 years old, just has 2 caps. He played a couple of the games prior to the tournament. He was selected for the final squad, but actually withdrew due to injury. So unable to get some game time, which probably would have served good experience for him had he been able to get on the pitch.
Yeah, and it is so hard to tell. I mean, he's an example of a player that they bring in one or two games before the start of a tournament. Every team seems to have a few players like this. So you'd feel a bit under the gun as an experienced player, because it seems when they find someone young and good, they put them on the field, and that means someone's out of the picture.
Yeah, you see that every team, from the smallest to the most powerful countries, there's always guys coming in for tournaments with just a handful of caps. So not always the guys who help them qualify, which is interesting. But yeah, for whatever reason, maybe strong domestic seasons that have just finished gives these guys a bit of a window of opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one guy who hasn't moved out of his position, as we move on to left backs. I was trying to make a smooth transition there, but I don't feel like it really worked. But Alexander Larin is a real staple in the team. He did miss the 2019 Gold Cup, but he's been in the setup for quite a while and a starter. Sorry, I think I'm taking some of your lines there, Connor.
No, that's fine. Yeah, 57 caps. He's been with the team since 2012. He actually had a bit of an absence, 2.5 year absence, that ended in December 2020. And then he played seven of their nine games since that, leading up to the tournament. He started the first three group games, he started all four games, subbed out in the last game against Qatar. But yeah, a real staple, seems to really nail down that left defensive position.
Yeah, and he also took a free kick against Mexico and hit the post. So it seems like he's pretty versatile as a left defender. And in fact, here I have him coded as a left defender and a left midfielder. I do get these codings from looking at a few websites. So it may be that he sometimes moves up into midfield also. Next is Jonathan Jimenez, who was, go ahead.
Yeah, he would probably be the second contender on the left side of defense. Similar age, around 29 years old, but 21 caps only, so about a third of the caps of Alexander Larin. Not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup. He'd been involved in four of their 15 games since the 2019 Gold Cup, but he wasn't selected for 11 others. So he seems to kind of fallen out of favor and, like we said, not in contention for this Gold Cup.
Yeah, I put him in as a candidate because he was a starter in 2019. So it looks like he could still be part of the setup, but he's really been in and out of the team. He was selected for the preliminary squad in 2015 and didn't make the final cut, but then he didn't even make the preliminary squad in 2017. And as you said, in 2021 wasn't even selected for the preliminary squad. So he may be out of the picture, but he was a starter in 2019. Let's go to actually two of the bigger names on the team, Brian Tamakis and Alex Roldan. And maybe you can do Brian Tamakis there.
Yeah, Brian Tamakis, he's 26 years old, 37 caps, so pretty good return at that age. Like Alexander Larin, he was out of the squad or absent from the squad for a bit. He had an 18-month absence. But then played all nine of their games prior to the 2021 Gold Cup, and then played in three of their four games in this tournament. So again, a pretty well-established player.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny story with him. Actually, he clashed heads early in game two. Maybe that's why he was out of game three, and he was wearing a bandage for the rest of the game. And at the end of the game, it turned out that El Salvador had made six substitutions. And they claimed later that one of the substitutions was a head injury. But it was kind of funny because he had clashed heads 10 minutes into the game and played the rest of the game. Well, he was subbed out actually at 89, but I don't think that's how the concussion rule is really supposed to work.
A dubious interpretation of it at best, but they got away with it.
They got away with it. Okay, well, Alex Roldan actually has a brother who played for the U.S. in the Gold Cup.
Right.
And he was born in the USA. Do you want to tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, born in the U.S. and spent pretty much his entire professional career in the U.S., playing for a couple kind of lower league teams, but now with the Seattle Sounders, actually a second stint with the Sounders. So one of their MLS-based players, just a handful in the squad. He played all four games in the Gold Cup, subbed in the first two, but then was a starter for the final group stage game against Mexico and the knockout game against Qatar. So yes, and even scored a goal. He got the first goal in a 2-0 win against Guatemala in their opening game.
And apparently that goal caused him a lot of pain because I think one of his parents is from Guatemala and the other from El Salvador. He was also born in the USA, but he really is attached to Guatemala, kind of emotionally attached. And I think he was thinking of playing for them. And then in his debut game, he not only played Guatemala, but suffered the pain of scoring against them. Poor guy. That would cause a lot of kind of mixed feelings, wouldn't it?
It would, as it would have been had he ended up playing his brother in the United, had they met the United States, but they avoided that.
Yeah, he didn't end up facing him. We're going to move on to midfielders here, but before we look at defensive midfielders, we're kind of moving upfield. You get some of these players who are kind of all over the field. It seems like every time I look at a graphic, this guy is in a different position. He's one of their very big players, Darwin Serin, and I think he also has a brother playing for the El Salvador team.
Yeah, I would have to verify that. But yeah, he's been with El Salvador since 2012, 65 caps, 4 goals. He started basically being a starter for their last 5 Gold Cups. So certainly someone who's kind of one of the first names on the team sheet. He subbed out in the first 3 games, but started every game in this tournament.
That's right. He got a couple of yellow cards. He's also based in the MLS, like quite a few El Salvador players are. And if you're wondering what VM means, it's my own designation, a versatile midfielder. Let's move on to the defensive midfielders. And we have a couple of kind of nominations as a starter. Well, I guess because Henry Enriquez was not in the 2021 World Cup, that Marvin Monterosa took over as the captain.
Yes, that's right, taking it over from the goalkeeper. Monterosa made appearances in all 4 of the Gold Cup games, and had played in 12 of the 15 games since the 2019 Gold Cup. So a pretty regular in the squad. Like a lot of players, he plays his domestic football in El Salvador. And yeah, worked his way to deserving the armband for the most recent Gold Cup.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting history with him. He did start with the team in 2014. Wasn't selected for the preliminary squad in 2015. Was selected for the preliminary squad in 2017, but didn't make the final cut. Was a sub in 2019, and then now he's a starter and captain of the team. So that is just a story that has a lesson of kind of never quit, because You'll get there if you keep trying.
Yeah, slow and steady.
Yeah. Okay. The other defensive midfielder we look at is Isaac Portillo.
Yeah, he's a bit more on the fringes. He's only been involved with the team recently, since 2021. Only has 7 caps to his name. He was subbed in the first 3 games, those being the group stages of the 2021 Gold Cup. Yeah, probably someone who has a bit more of a supporting role, certainly compared to some of the players around him, Sarin and Monterosa, who we mentioned.
Yeah, I wonder if I made a mistake in including him in a list of starters. I think I was struck by the fact that he played 7 of the 8 games in the lead up to the tournament. So it kind of looked like he was going to be one of the main players for him. But then I never know if those 7 games are as a starter or as a sub. But anyway, he is one of the players who might be in and around, as you say. We'll move on to central midfielders, and we only have really one in this position, Narciso Orellana.
Right, yeah, Orellana. He played in the 3 group stage games, but then I believe was suspended for the knockout round, having collected 2 yellow cards, so didn't see any action then.
That's right.
Yeah, he played 9 of their 15 games since 2019 Gold Cup, not selected for the other 6, which is all their World Cup qualifiers. He's also been involved in previous tournaments. He was on the roster but didn't see any action in 2015, but then was a regular starter in 2017 and 2019 Gold Cups.
Yeah, and I would imagine he'll be a big part of their team going into the octo. Have we decided what to call that? I mean, it's not our decision. I liked the suggestion of Oka, but I think I hear it being called the octo more often now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's been settled. The hex was nice and easy, but now they've got 8 teams there. Still experimenting, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, the left midfielder situation really kind of emphasizes how artificial the structure we've set up here is, because I don't think any of these floor players actually did play left midfielder, because I think the right midfielder played on the left during the 2021 Gold Cup. And Joaquin Rivas is an interesting story. David Rugamas they had high hopes for him because he's been doing well as a forward. But I think he was on the bench for the first game, and then he left the team due to illness. And I'm not dead sure of this, but it seems like they put Joaquin Rivas up front as a forward, and he did very well. So I have him as a left midfielder because that's his position on the websites that I check. Obviously he played as a forward in 2021 and did so well that maybe they will convert him to a forward. Maybe we should start with learning a little bit about him before we do the first name on the list, now that I've started it.
Yeah, well, like you said, he did well. He scored 3 goals over the course of their 4 Gold Cup games, including both their goals in the 3-2 loss to Qatar in the quarterfinals. He plays for the U.S. and hasn't made any appearances in the MLS, but kind of in their second tiers, the United Soccer League. He's 29 years old, only been involved with the team for the last 3 years, so only 10 caps. 2 goals coming into the tournament, added 3 goals in the tournament. So, yeah, I mean, you always need players on the field who can score goals for you, especially if they're not in that center forward position. So expect him to kind of be involved given his strong performances.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, it was very impressive against Qatar because they were down 3-0, and then he scored 2 goals in the space of 3 minutes at 63 and 66, and suddenly they were back in the game, and they almost tied it up. So I'm sure he's a pretty big name, or he's on the lips of El Salvador fans.
He actually thought he scored a hat trick to complete a remarkable comeback, but was called offside in that game after putting the ball in the net. So very
right, that would have been a tying goal.
Yeah, would have been remarkable. Would have been a 10-minute hat trick had he pulled it off, but correctly called offside, though it was close.
Yeah, he would have been a hero for sure. Let's go back to the first name on the list, though. Another Portillo. This one is Juan Carlos Portillo.
Yeah, a pretty regular player in the squad. Someone we expect to be involved, playing 11 of their 15 games between the 2019 and 2021 Gold Cup, and then had involvement in all four of their games. Mostly coming in as a sub. He did start the first game, but came in as a sub in the next three.
Yeah, and I think I remember him playing more centrally than on the left, but I'm not as familiar with these players as we are with Canada's player. Right. One name, though, that is very familiar to me is Jaime Alas. The name Alas is familiar to me. How to pronounce the first name, I'm less confident with, but 75 caps. He's a real veteran for the team.
Yeah, being involved in all the Gold Cups, for most of the Gold Cups since 2011, not involved in the 2017 Gold Cup. But when he's, seemed to be a bit bigger player in the early 2000s, starting many of the games in 2011 to 15. A little bit less involved, and then was not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup. So, not probably at the point where he's aging out yet. So it may be a case of El Salvador giving some other players a chance. Jaime Alas, definitely a player that's been around the team and would expect to be involved again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I included him here just because he is in and out a lot. It seems like he kind of plays every second Gold Cup and in his early 30s, so he may not be kind of out of the system yet. You can kind of see him as a player who would be good to have on the bench and to bring in if you need him. He's got two brothers who also play soccer, Dennis and Juan Carlos. And he's actually a twin of Juan Carlos, but I think he's the biggest name of the three. And yeah, we'll move on again, a less likely candidate than some of the ones we've looked at here, but a veteran to be sure, Andres Flores.
Yeah, similar number of caps to Alice. Like Alice had been involved kind of on and off in Gold Cup since 2011, but not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup.
Yeah, it seems like he's never really quite been a full starter for them. He's been around for a long time, there he is, kind of again with so many games and also injuries or COVID cases happening. They may have to turn to some of these veterans who are still active for their club teams.
And sometimes where you can be a little bit more experimental in a Gold Cup for World Cup qualifying, sometimes teams do return to the more veteran players. Just knowing how important the games are, they're less perhaps experimental with some of the young players.
Absolutely, and we did kind of learn through this Gold Cup that at least some of the teams were being quite experimental in, you know, with an eye to the team that they were gonna go with for the World Cup qualifiers. So you're dead right there. Let's move on to the right midfielders. I'm sorry for putting four players in that left midfield category. I was trying to reduce it to two or three, but you'll see why, because in the next couple of sections coming up, There are some positions that are actually like the right midfielders. There's only one, or sometimes even none, which probably means some of the left midfielders, if they have too many of them, will move over into those positions. Let's take a look at Jairo Hernandez. Jairo Enriquez.
Right. An El Salvador-based player. He's been with the team since 2015, but only has 10 caps, so perhaps not a regular. That said, he did start all four of their games in the Gold Cup, so maybe someone benefiting from getting an opportunity while some of the more experienced players are left out. Scored the opening goal in a 2-0 win against Trinidad in their second game.
Yeah, that's right. He was involved in 2015, then seemed to have dropped. He was only a sub in 2015 for one game. Then he kind of dropped out of the picture for the last two Gold Cups, and here comes in as a starter. So it's always, I suppose, if we were watching El Salvadorian club football, we might see these players rise and fall. From our perspective, a bit of a surprise there that he was a starter after a 4-year absence. Okay, let's move on to the left wingers, and again, be a lot of overlap with the midfielders here, but really only one player who is designated as a left winger, and that's Amando Morena.
Yes. Only one cap coming into the tournament. So again, a beneficiary of perhaps a more experimental approach. Subbed in games 2 and 3 in the Gold Cup and was a starter, perhaps surprisingly, in the knockout game against Qatar. Born in the United States and also plays domestically in the United States, again, in the lower divisions, kind of the U.S. pyramid.
Yeah, that's right. He was with Chicago Fire and now is with New Mexico United. I'm not that familiar with them. Is that a new team?
It may be. I know there has been a team in New Mexico for a while, but there's so many teams actually in the United Soccer League and franchises popping up and getting relocated from time to time. So
yeah,
a hard time keeping track of it.
I'm familiar with most of the names as I make up these bios. I think, honestly, that was the first time I had heard of New Mexico United, so it took me by surprise. But, okay, let's move on to right-wingers, and we'll see that one of them is Darwin Serene's brother, so at least he made the list, although I do believe he's retired. But we'll start with someone who is more firmly established in the team, which is Joshua Perez.
Yeah, Joshua Perez, born in the United States, I actually believe is related to the head coach, a nephew, I believe, but I might have to double check that and check back in. However, he did play all four games, started all of them, wasn't able to get on the score sheet, but nevertheless a starter for them. He only earned his first cap in June 2021. But had played 6 games prior to the tournament.
It has a lot of the air of nepotism about it. But in fact, he did play quite well in the cup, and definitely, I think, justified his place there. He also plays in Spain, which I think for all North American teams is a bit of a feather on the national team. He played for Fiorentina in Italy too.
Yeah, and I can confirm he is a nephew of the head coach. But like you said, playing in Europe gives him a little bit of credibility beyond being related to the coach.
Yeah, cachet, is that the word? He has some cachet.
Sure.
Okay, let's move on to Walmer Martinez, another right winger, and he is also new with the team, but he is quite young.
Yeah, just 22 years old, another who's been with the team only since 2021. He was a substitute in all four of their games. We did manage a goal in stoppage time in a 2-0 win against Trinidad. So yeah, a newer player. But hopefully for him, getting that goal will give him a shot at being involved in some of these more important World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm thinking of the right game, but I think it was the case that they were struggling to score in that game, and then they brought on two substitutes, both of which scored. I'm going to move on because I'm not confident that I'm thinking of the right situation. But
you are correct.
Yeah. How do you know?
Just noticing someone else scored as a sub. I'll have to double check in that Trinidad game. But I think goals in 83 and 91. So they saw off a stubborn Trinidad team that had drawn Mexico in their first game. So subs making the difference.
Oh, great. Well, nice verification there, because I wasn't confident about my story there. Okay, the last one is Oscar Serin. Again, I'm kind of adding him because he's a veteran who might be brought back into the picture. Do you want to just tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, like you mentioned, he's the older brother of Darwin, who also plays on the team. He started all three games in the 2019 Gold Cup, but was not selected for the preliminary squad for this tournament.
Yeah, that's right. And so we'll have to see if some of these guys, I mean, we're more familiar with Canada, and we definitely know some of the players who didn't show up for the World or for the Gold Cup are still very much in the picture. So it's probably the same with El Salvador, that some of these guys look like they may be out of the picture, but will probably be used. Okay, attacking midfielders and secondary strikers, there are no players kind of designated in those positions. Probably some of those midfielders would kind of move up into those positions. But we just have forwards, and I think El Salvador really missed. We're really kind of shocked that David Rugamas was not part of the thing, part of the setup, because he came down with a severe flu. I don't know if that means COVID or if it really means a severe flu. But he was there for one game and then left the team.
Yeah, a real loss. He has a great goal scoring record for them, 10 goals and 17 caps. So kind of a goal every other game. He actually doesn't have a lot of Gold Cup experience for them. So this would have been a really good platform for him to shine. But yes, an unfortunate illness right before the tournament meant he was unable to play a part.
Yeah, I get the feeling they were very excited about him and therefore disappointed. A lot of those goals came in the last CONCACAF Nations League round, and they're kind of new, even though he's been there on the team since 2015. I think a lot of those goals are recent, so it made El Salvadorians kind of excited to see what he would do at the Gold Cup. Another new player is Marvin Marquez, and he is brand new to the squad.
Yeah, brand new. He actually hadn't appeared for the national team before being named to the preliminary squad. And then he made three appearances for the team, all from the bench. He did get an assist in the game against Guatemala, the opening game of the tournament. So, yes, not a lot of experience. Only 23, so someone that they may have bigger plans for, but probably benefited perhaps from Rugamas not being there. And probably
yeah,
mental approach.
I think I put him on the list because I think they are kind of searching for a forward. Once Rugamas left, they used the left midfielder Rivas, who we talked about, who yeah, filled his boots very well. But you know, he was a midfielder. So and one of the reasons why they need a forward is because it looks like Nelson Bonilla, who's been with the team for quite a while, is making his way out. And he is the last player we're going to look at. Do you want to tell us about him?
Yeah, a player who has 46 caps and 16 goals, so a bit of experience and a bit of a goal threat. He involved in Gold Cups in 2015, 2016, and 2019, but not selected for the 2021 Gold Cup. He only played 5 of their 15 games after the 2019 Gold Cup. So, again, possibly a player on the way out, as you mentioned, though it may be tempting to bring in someone who has that sort of pedigree in terms of caps and goals for these very important World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah, well, he was their top scorer in 2017 and 2019. And not that they scored that many goals in those tournaments, but he's someone they have relied on for goals. And I kind of get the feeling he's too young to be out of the picture, and they're too much in need of a forward to lose him. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our review of El Salvador players. Anything to add there, Connor?
No, I think El Salvador was, certainly we saw for the Gold Cup, some of the players that we mentioned, 70 caps, 40 caps, 50 caps, these players weren't involved. So I think there was definitely an effort by the coach, Hugo Perez, to bring in some new players to see what some of these younger players were about. Certainly for some of the players, the more experienced ones, we would expect to see them back in. But the great thing about the Gold Cup is it gave these players some meaningful games, and we may see some of them involved. So it'll be kind of interesting to track how similar the team is in the octagon as it was to the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of players who come in and out besides. But it'll be interesting to kind of use this roster we've put up here and see how their starting lineups look in the first games of the World Cup qualifiers. Okay, well, great. Thanks, Connor. And we will see you next time. I'm not sure which podcast we're going to do next, but thanks for joining me in this and for your insights.
My pleasure as always.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.